Dios. So Paul began to use this concept of God's righteousness. Not your righteousness, not my righteousness. He's talking about God's what? Righteousness. It's not my righteousness. You know what the scripture says? Seek first his kingdom and what? We think he's talking about our. He never said I'm our righteousness. He said his. So the gift of righteousness is revealed by the gospel, and the gospel was not revealed before. When Paul began to talk about this, he used this statement very the Jews totally rejected it. Unfortunately, in 2017, many Christians still reject it. In spite of the fact that the Bible warned us about it. So the Jews rejected it because they felt that they were good enough. They felt they didn't need God's help here. And when Jesus was here, they were confronting him with their goodness. They would come to him and say, "What are you talking about? So what must I do to inherit what? I've been doing these things. What are you talking about?" There were people who were so proud of how good they were. And Paul told us that he thought that these things were useful. Because concerning the law, you never saw any set of people who were scrupulously observing the law like the Pharisees. So when you told them that God is giving them his righteousness, they thought you are talking nonsense. Fast forward to 2017. Many Christians think so. Many Christians think so. And they're losing. Losing big time. I think that's what God was saying. And look at what Paul said about the Jews. Romans 10 from verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be what? Saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal for God. Today there are a lot of zealous Christians. So many zealous Christians. But not according to what? Knowledge. There are a lot of zealous Christians who don't have accurate knowledge of what Christianity means. Again, this is that thing I had. Now I begin to understand that what the shame is. People live here instead of me. Not according to knowledge. And what did the scripture say when we lack knowledge? My people are what? You can cram the Bible without having knowledge. You can teach this Bible without having knowledge. You can preach it without having knowledge. For they were, verse 3, knowledge of what? Verse 3. Knowledge of what? Verse 3. For they being, verse 3, for they being what? Ignorant of what? Is they have zeal that they are ignorant of God's righteousness. Brethren, 2017, majority of Christians are ignorant of God's righteousness. I was for many years as a Christian, even as a pastor. I didn't even know it existed. for many years, and boy, did I pay price for it. That in my heart is good. My people do not understand. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, and now going about to establish what? Their own righteousness. Because their sense of being good or so high. The way they were talking about. You know, Christians today think, when I fast, man, I pray, man. What are you talking about? Having not submitted. See, I was saying last week that we don't understand the word obedience. Each time we talk of obedience, we have a very limited understanding of what that word means. And we're going to look at it because when you begin to understand, if your scope of obedience increases, you will understand the need for God's righteousness. So, having not submitted themselves, which means they're rebelling. Am I right? The word submission, the opposite of it is what? They are rebelling. They are disobeying. They are not obeying. Have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And Romans 9:13 tells us about the Gentiles. Who didn't have the law? Who didn't feel they measured up? Who didn't feel they qualified? Who didn't feel, because they were not part of it, impressing the righteousness from every direction. Now look at Romans 9:10. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed any time here, the Gentiles which follows not after what? Which means they didn't have the laws. The law was given to the Jews, am I right? Yeah, it wasn't given to them. So they followed not after righteousness, have attained, have what? Attained to righteousness. Even the righteousness which is, can we have New Living Translation here? What does all this mean? Even though the Gentiles were not trying to follow God's standards, they were made right with God, and it was by faith that they pleased him. Then verse 31. But the people of Israel who try so hard to get right with God by keeping the law, what? Never succeeded. They said to God, we don't need this righteousness. We're doing okay. I mean, look at the law, we keep it. So what are you talking about? We're okay. The Bible said they didn't attain to the standard of righteousness that God demanded. But the Gentiles who were not trying attained it. The result is that the Gentiles attended and they were enjoying the blessings. Why did you run out of enjoying the blessings? It's right here. In verse 32. Wherefore? Verse 32. Why not? Because they were trying to get right with God by keeping what? The law. Instead of by trusting in him, they stumbled over the great rock in their path. Who is that rock? Which means they stumbled over, they got nothing. Jesus benefited them. Instead of making them stand, they were falling. They couldn't get anything from him, benefited nothing from him. They were stumbling over him. And yet, there is a rock upon which others stand and overcome. And yet, to others, it is the rock they fall over. They got nothing. Instead of standing on the rock and enjoying the goodness of God, they were falling. You don't get nothing where you are falling. Fast forward today. See, that's in my heart. It's relevant. many Christians still stumble over Christ. Even though we sing all these beautiful songs here, and whatever we sing them, sometimes we don't even know the meaning of what we sing. Oh, Christ, that's all it. Who told you? Stop. For many years as a Christian, I didn't know about God's righteousness. I'm praying I paid tremendous price. Ignorance is dangerous. And I did all I could do, like the Jews. I was trying to. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling what? Stone. And the rock of God warned them of this in the scripture when he said, I'm placing a stone in Jerusalem that makes people. Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense. For God warned them, that makes people to. Does anybody have New Living Translation? So you can complete it from your Bible. This is not good. Okay, let me read King James. King James still works. All in favor, say aye. Only four people. Okay, I'm sorry. Sometimes our system has been. It's not the fault of those wonderful. Sometimes it doesn't work. It's okay. They stumble a rock that makes them what? Fall. Now, instead of standing on Christ, the solid rock, I stand falling. But anyone who trusts in him now will never be what? If I trust in him, then I will accept him as my righteousness. You can't say I trust in him when you think you are competing with him in righteousness. Don't need him. I can get along with that. You are not just stumbling and falling. You bring it to God right. Let's be clear about this. The favor of our righteousness. God sees this, that's what. The only thing that God wants. And it will humble you to the power of your will. If you understand it. Right. You will never be proud of it. When you know you are bringing nothing, you know our pride comes when we think we are. I prayed all night. And then you wake up in the morning, you step on the seat. Props. And I spoke in tongues for hours. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Do you know that it is a major attack of Satan? To make you boast of yourself. Do you know it's a major attack? Do you know he did it on Jesus? He said, good master. Nobody got this message on this. There's such a wonderful Jesus Christ. None is good. Except what? He moved the grace to God in you. Immediately shifted it. So let us see our righteousness from God's point of view. That's my righteousness and your own. Both of us. Let us see it as God what? Sees it. Isaiah, I call it Isaiah 64:6. It's a very popular verse. Everybody should do it. Isaiah 64:6. We are all. Okay, quick translation. Okay, let's read New Living Translation. We are all infected. And then pure we sin. When we display our righteous deeds, they are nothing but what? Federal. I think it was Uncle Walmart who was saying how he used to think he was free. And one time the Lord opened his eyes to see him the way he was free. Did anybody hear that from you? You heard it? He said, I'm like, are you serious? He said, that's true. You see, you have to come to a point in your Christian life. I want you to hear this. Do yourself a world of faith. You have to come to a point in your Christian life where you tell yourself that this Bible is God. I'm not kidding. You must come to a point where you surrender your wisdom to this Bible. Surrender it totally. When God says your righteousness is filthy rag, know that God is saying the truth and nothing but what? Truth. You must come to a point where you talk to yourself and say, I need to begin to take this Bible as God Himself what? Talking. Otherwise, you read the Bible like it's an optional thing. That's why we read it and we don't do whatever we might say. That has no business in it. Regardless of what God, whether God said it or we think that if many people do it, it will sway God to approve. That word doesn't change and God does not. Amen. Can we bring people into our life? My life and yours. Hello. Let's expand our scope of what God demands of us to do. It's mind boggling. No man can do that. Totally mind-boggling. Let's have a little look at ourselves. Look at Hebrews 3:12. Take heed, brethren. Be careful then, dear brothers and sisters. Make sure that your hearts are not evil. And what? Turning you away. Did you know that don't believe the word. It's evil. Did you know it's evil? We don't consider it evil. But God said that's evil. And that it separates you from me. It causes fellowship. Is that serious? Is it not what God warned us in the book of Hebrews chapter 4? That we should be careful that Israel refused to believe him and they could not benefit from his blessings. It's a warning the church. That unbelief will separate you from my blessings. If that is serious enough to stop me from enjoying divine blessings, it is sin enough. It's as evil as it gets. Because I'm looking God in the face and saying, no, you are telling what? We know we don't consider unbelief sin. We don't know we don't. And yet the Bible warns us over and over. You see this Hebrews chapter 3. If you read chapter 3, chapter 4, you see this one come over. Repeat it. Over. Be careful. Be careful. Over. Don't let this thing go. Don't. The only thing we call sin is adultery and fornication. I went to Nigeria, I told him, I said, the greatest deceit that the devil showed the church is that the only sin is adultery and fornication. I said, we can live with it. Comfortable with him. We tell lies. Have you ever seen anybody who came to his pastor and said, Pastor, hey, I told a lie. Oh my God. Have you seen anybody who says, I have resentment. Oh my God. How can I carry resentment? Oh Lord. Have you ever seen it? But if it's adultery and that is demonic to seek. It is demonic what? Seek. It has made us accommodate and feel comfort. Not even an attempt to deal with it. We frown. But let me shock you. I want you to hear. You know, we were teaching here. That we're focusing on where we fall instead of what made us what? If you have resentment and all these things, in all probability, you have sexuality in one form or what? In all probability. Because the Bible says wherever you find all this evil work and all this quarrelsome and trouble, you say there's every other work. Evil work there. I didn't write it in the Bible says. In all probability, the same thing that is causing your heart to resent and be comfortable is the same thing that will cause it to be lost. Not another. In all probability, you either masturbating or in all probability, you don't escape. But that heart is not true. It's bleeding what is coming from the source of it. If you understand me, say amen. You know, we sweep a lot of things, what? The ones that we bother is the ones we do see. As long as we can cover it. I'm just trying for us to broaden our understanding of it. Look at Revelation 21:8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable. The fearful, the what? Unbelieving. And the what? Abominable. And the what? Murderers. And what? Who is warmonger? It's prostitution. So, does any Christian want to be there? And the sorcerers and idolaters. And what again? Liars among them. But you know, lies present help in times of life. What is something to do? But see how the Spirit of God categorizes it with what? Dishonor. I'm still asking the question. Have you seen anybody who said they have not entered? And it becomes a problem. James 4:17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and knoweth it not, to him it is what? So if I know the right thing to do and I don't do it, the Spirit of God says it is what? It's sin. Why bother? Does it bother that I'm committing sin? How many things has God to stop me? I don't know. How many things has God to stop me? I don't know. Is it that you do? And does not do. It is what? Now, the question is, does it bother me? What happened after we did it? You know, we need to really enlarge your scope. If we do, it will help us. Can I hear amen? He that knoweth to do good. I can tell you some things God has been talking to me about which I'm not doing. Some have, he has even stopped talking. But that's it. I remember Kenny Copeland. He said that the point was not coming. And he said, I can't continue. God has to talk. What is ministry if I'm not hearing? Where am I going to get this church? So he said, I left the church, left everything. Went back up and said, well, I'm not hearing. So ministry is over. I said, yes. He said, so where is the trouble? He said, what is the trouble? He said, many years ago, I had a conversation. And I gave you instructions for what to do. You did it. And you wrote in your book. If God says, and I believe it, that settles it. He said, he didn't settle it. He said, now I gave you many years. I'm not talking about it. And he said, God told him where he would. He said, can't find that. Why you would that? And if you don't do that, then he said, every day the day has stood before me, I cannot please them. He said, I don't change my instruction because of time. And I don't forget it. So when we begin to claim righteousness, let us begin to understand what we need. They said it there. I said, what did they say it there? I bought it from there. Asking me, did they say it there? I said, I came from there. But he said, no, the reason I'm asking is that maybe you bought it from somewhere. And the Lord said to me, that's so much for the love of God. All she wanted was a simple answer. And now you're asking how much. The love of God controlled us. That's not my love, baby. I've been honest with you. If you walk with God, you will not tolerate it. If you really want to walk with God, there are things you will tolerate for a while, but at the point you will tolerate it. You will shift that basis. He said, the only more simple question. Simple things he asked you, and you're asking, answering with question. Why not tell her, yeah, I bought it from you? And you're asking her, if I didn't buy from there, from where did I buy that? I just came from there. If you're the boat, say amen. Also, I'm the only one. God, sit down. God, sit down. Don't leave me alone. We're out there. You know, I'm trying to help us get out of this demonic trap that makes us comfortable thinking we are okay. Is no way in our life. It's a journey. And because it's a journey, God gave us His righteousness to bring us into His what? Praises! Because we don't have it with all the things I answered my wife and other things I did during the day. He knows I can't come because His feet are all over. So He gave His Son as my righteousness. And that's what he says, the gospel is revealing to us. The grace and mercy of God is crediting to me what I don't desire. The righteousness that Jesus has. He says, no, you should just believe in us. You should say, I can't save myself. So that whereas you haven't gotten it right, it's a lie. Because you are learning, you don't, at that stage, you have a perfect them and a perfect God that is like a man. So you can't, but you are learning. But you need me. I will have to finish. So I have to do it to me. I can't trust them. So you won't have it. I will not consume you because of it. Does it not humble us? It humbles us. It makes you grow. It's part of the reason when you are dancing, you should be thanking and appreciating. Praise the Lord. You know, the Bible says to speak evil of no man. That is that first thing. Let's read it. To speak evil of what? To be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all. Now, you think we speak evil of anybody? When it touches, you know, I don't want to tell anybody, but if you know what that means, I won't say anything, but anyway, God will take care of you. You've said all you want to. Let me teach you something. I want you to hear this. If I come and tell you about God is not interested in what that person. God cannot come and say, so that is where the new world is. You know, I didn't know. Please tell me more. So he's doing this kind of thing and I didn't know. Wow. In fact, from today, I'm going to show you. God is not interested in your gossip. He knows him in and out. He has his opinion about him, regardless of your own. So gossip is irrelevant and nonsense. If you have wisdom, don't engage in it. It's useless. It will hurt you spiritually and it's useless to God. He's not listening to it. God knows this man and doesn't need you to tell him. Jesus said, I don't need any man to tell me anything. I know people. And God has his opinion about him. Some of them you don't even know. So if you have that wisdom, is it not better that you do what? Shut up. Instead of bringing trouble on your head. So it goes on. Was the man that God used to raise that people from the dead. He said he was wearing glasses until he died. Because he used to laugh at pastors who wear glasses. He said, how can you be a man of God and you are wearing glasses? How can you? And then he began to wear, and the Lord said, you are wearing it anyway. With what vision you need to have to others. That is not me. I'm not feeling it. The man will say, I will start crying. You don't know what I have to tell you. Subscribe. Empowering the devil. Right. We read the Bible, we don't want to see yourself. We think it's what he says to have been quiet down. But the Bible is telling you the truth of life. It's warning you. I say there's life in the world, there's death in the world. Be careful, be careful, be careful. For where? Once we go, the devil will come and tap you, pam, 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 pam in your emotions. And then you go to night in the Friday. After the night, they will come in the morning and tap you again. Come to start. Brother, ignorance is terrible. The devil will make you this. He will make you suffer so much. Oh, Jesus. You will suffer so much thinking you are pleasing him. The Lord told me, he said, an ignorant Christian is like Samson without eyes. He said, the devil will beat him on the table. Him out of life. At the point he will develop something, just knock him out of commission. Evangelism, he's so concentrated upon himself. It's about him in the morning, about him in the afternoon, about him in the evening. And yet there are souls to be prayed for all around him. There's the work of God to be done all around him. That is useless in the kingdom. Wait on God. God is an opportunity to teach people what to do about the Christian that is no more son. And how he uses his authority because of Jesus. I'm telling you, I'm not true. So if a Christian is not with Jesus, he's a watch. He is like Saul that has lost what? Fight the devil. Fight the devil. Pray about yourself. Pray about your children. Pray about you. One tiny small word. And then James threw. James, I say this is not enough. James threw a big bomb. James threw 10. A big bomb. But he brought the matter to a close quick. James threw 10. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet to fail the one point, he's guilty of what? All of them. Ah! So, with this, I can't escape this thing. So, I humble myself under the mighty hand of the blessed and blessed. I can enjoy the city of abundance and be the place of who are pleasing. Can I hear amen? And so prayer begins to make it. I don't have time. I don't know how long that's going. If you want, when you people come back, we have to buy new software for you. I'm sorry. And the cost. Let me take this one for you. But I should give you what you need to know. I'm very sorry. But manage it. Amen. Well, we're moving very soon, so why not do it? You didn't say amen. We're moving very soon. It may be if you are doing. So, Paul began a very powerful presentation. The Dama was gifted. He was a real lawyer. He began to make a case about the privity of mankind. He began to make a very powerful case that mankind is deprived of righteousness. Both the Gentiles and what? The Jews. The man without God is essentially evil. And an evil world man knows that God's wrath will come upon him, he will still continue doing evil. He made a very powerful case. So he started in verse 18, Romans, after saying that the gospel reveals the righteousness of God. So he began to make a case why man needs that righteousness from God. Now, Romans 1:18. For God's wrath. Okay, let me read the New Living Translation. So can put it on. New Living Translation. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against what? All ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, including the one I did to my wife 2 days ago. If I hear that again, 2 days ago, and the one you did also, all unrighteousness. All of them. The one in the heart, the covetousness in the heart, the wickedness in the heart, the unforgiveness in the heart, the resentment in the heart, all those wicked things. Even today, Christians know that those things are bad, but they will hold on to forgiveness. They will hold on to it and say, you have no idea what they did to me. Oh, pastors, you know. And I'm sitting there saying, really? The Holy Spirit is always right. He said, man is so evil that he knows that this thing will attract God's wrath, but he will still do. That's what he said. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against what? All ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Continue. They know the truth about God because he made it obvious to them. How many of us who are Christians, how many times has God made the truth obvious to us? How many times? How many more times will God reveal the truth about me to me that I will start listening? Are we saying we do everything he said that tells us? Pay your tithe. Said to God, I want to make both ends work. And God says, since you are wiser than me, make it. Continue. One verse. My auntie said 20. She's been in America a long time. My auntie called it 20. I've been calling it 20 by color. Verse 20. Verse 24. Verse 20. For ever since the world was created, people have seen what? The earth and the sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible quality, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. Continue. Verse 20. Yes. They knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as what? Or even give him a chance. How many things will come out of it? And they began to think up what? Foolish ideas of what God dreaded, it is worse now, even among Pentecostals. We sit up and think up what God is like. Maybe 100 days fast, 40 days dry. It is so wicked. I have to do 7 days to wake him up. I have to do the God. The God of fire and thunder. He gives you enemies. Oh, man of rubbish. That the Bible didn't say. It didn't say. But we hide it from the so-called man of God. With an empty head. An empty head. And we put them. Reverend Bishop Susu. Do you know the wife? I will say that. Let me go to the doctor. Verse 21. For though they knew God, they did not. Yes, they knew God. They didn't worship Him as God or even give Him thanks. And they began to think of foolish ideas of what God was like. They used, you know, the one they used, opportunity. The woman that went to the John, and they say, see now, you have to pray down there. What are they doing? Teaching Bible study. That's nonsense. It's not that. God is not like that. Though. Jesus said, that church does not regard man, not God. God's not like that. For God so loved God, God regards man and died for man. What Jesus was saying, even wicked people, if you harass them, can help you say, will God not answer you? Quick to this people. We call upon him. We pray. Jesus was saying, if you don't need to harass, that God is the lover. He gives without looking for anything. James says he gives liberally. What did you do to get you? Ask him. Now, if you gave up Jesus, what would you do for him to give you any other thing? What compares in quality with Jesus? Come on, answer me now. See how we present God. We were talking here one day, and one young man came to me. He said, Pastor, did you see what one man did? A musician that got changed, that gave his life to Christ. He said, we're talking about the devil outside. He said, the devil speaks most from the people. He said, a lot of people is not controlled by God. This is a musician, American rapper, that God said. He said, what they say from the people does not represent the God of the Bible. A young man came here and told me, he said, Pastor, yes, I didn't see them. If you listen to a lot of our people, Christian people, you think that God is the devil himself and the devil is God. They make God so wicked, heartless, difficult to get to talk to, very miserly, very weak, heartless. Before he can release something, boy, you have to kill yourself halfway. Am I telling that? The church will stand. He's looking for the mistake. And that creates fear. Verse 21. Okay. For though they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God or show gratitude. Instead, their thinking became nonsense, and their senseless minds were darkened. Were darkened. What does it mean to be darkened? It's the void of the knowledge of God. Darkened. Claiming to be wise now. They became, claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. 23. And they changed the glory. 20. And they changed the glory of the immortal God for images resembling what? Mortal man, birds, four-footed animals, and reptiles. Let me tell you what Paul is saying here. 18. He says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. That man knows this truth. But that man has the ability to know that there is God. Because that if you look at creation itself, the vastness of creation, the sophistication of creation, will tell you there's a God behind it. And you know that man knows there's God. you know why they are going to Mars? To find life. To disprove creation. That's all. All these billions they are pumping. Going to Mars, going to Moon. I wish they go to the sun, right? Looking for water. I want you to listen to me. All they are looking for is what? Molecules of water to prove that there is life. You know what they want to attack? In the beginning, God created what? They want to destroy. Because if they ever agree to that, all their theory of evolution will fall flat. And I want to say here that the theory of evolution has not been proven up until today. There's no scientific proof about it. At all. None. Praise the Lord. And man has the capacity, because brethren, look at how you fly in the air at 560 something miles per hour and eating chicken there. Is he not brain that God gave? Man is not a God. Man has sophisticated brain, because God created us in his own image. Man unravels what God has created. These are people that are not even Christians. We fly at the speed of, man, are you kidding me? You eat breakfast here, you eat dinner in Nigeria. My father lived in Britain. He went by ship. It took him 2 weeks to get to Liverpool. 2 weeks. From Lagos to Liverpool. And now you can stay here and talk to your grandmother in the village. Hello, hello. Does that not show you the capacity God gave you? If man could do all of this, don't you understand that intrinsically, there is this knowledge that there is what? But they are rebelling against it. So they create science as their God. Science is their God. They'll say, study says. And then some of that study is sponsored by companies. So sometimes the food industry is fighting. Those who are selling granola oil, they do studies that shows that granola oil is sold. Those who are selling palm oil, we do study that show that palm oil is what? This is real truth. Those who are producing eggs, we go and show study that egg yolk is egg. Those who are producing something against egg, we show their own study. And guess who is making the money? All the professors in the university. They're the ones. They're the ones. They give the money, they establish money for research, and the professors control the money. Yeah, and they can employ you tomorrow and say, come and give my research to the top. And the money runs into. And so that's why they are talking to prove to these students that there's no God. Because the money gives. Praise the Lord. If tomorrow he says there is God, there's false gospel. And if you understand me, say amen. I'm telling you, that's why they teach. They teach your children in the universities, everywhere, that there's no God. They gave my son one topic to write. He said, "Grant, you should give this," and they touched him. And the boy went back and said, "So against my Christianity, I can't. I don't think you know where they are." The man said, "Try some." Paul wrote this thing for the Sophia's one. That their understanding is what? Thinking they are wise, they become utter fools. My question to you, and please answer me, has the society become morally better? Huh? Is this safer now? With all the sophistication, life is not even safe. Praise the Lord. So they create all manner of gods. Some are idols. There's a god called dollar. Because of dollar, people can do anything. Once they get it, or the thing is flowing, they can do anything for their life. They can throw their wife out the window, or their husband out the window.
even their son out of the womb. Because of what? God, the goddess of God, called God. There's nothing Tola hasn't done. Nothing. Many families in this place, the main issue, problem is what? Tola. If I had a lot of dollar, I may stop preaching this book and travel to Jamaica. From Jamaica to France. From France to China. From China to Umuti. The lure of money is incredible. The Bible calls this mammon of what? Of righteousness. So you can't serve that money and so Paul went on to say that they made a choice. Verse 21 said the choice that man made in rebellion. For though they knew God, verse 21, yes, they knew God, but they won't what? Worship man. It's a choice they made. Or even give him thanks. Then they began to think of foolish ideas of what God was. Their minds became darkened and confused. You haven't seen the confused people. I told my son, I said, all this will be teaching you just ask them about their family. They are so confused. So confused. With all this kind of hair. I don't know why they have this beard. Praise the Lord. In Ephesians 4:17. Paul was talking about a darkened heart. With the Lord's authority, I say, live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. That's what he's talking about. The man is, he's talking about the Gentiles. They're hopelessly confused. Hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. This man wrote this thing many years ago. Is it happening to you? Okay? Let's read from verse 24 now. From verse 24. Therefore, God delivered them over in the cravings of their hearts to sexual impurity, so that their bodies were degraded among themselves. Because of lack of knowledge of God, see what man is doing. They exchange the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve something created instead of the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. So man went from idolatry to depravity. This is why God delivered them over to degrading passions. For even their females exchange natural sexual intercourse for what is unnatural. 27. The males, in the same way, also left natural sexual intercourse with females and were inflamed in their lust for one another. Is it happening? Okay. Males committed shameless acts with males and received in their own persons the appropriate penalty of their perversion with it. And because they did not think it worthwhile to have God in their knowledge, God delivered them over to a worthless mind. What is morally wrong. They are filled with all unrighteousness, all evil, all greed, all wickedness. They are full of envy, murder, disputes, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God haters. Is it happening? God haters, arrogant, proud, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. Huh? Did I miss something? Oh, okay. Huh? No, I'm still reading Romans. I read Ephesians, I finished Ephesians, I went to Romans. Or did I leave you in Ephesians? Okay, you can fly back. Romans chapter 1. Sorry, I'm so sorry. That's why it's good to put this in up. Can we have Romans chapter 1, verse 24? That's where I started. Verse 24. So God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts want. As a result of that abandonment, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. You see, mutilate your body, all proper stuff. Verse 25. They traded the truth about God for a lie. So they worshipped and served the things God created instead of the Creator Himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Everybody say amen. 26. That is why God abandoned them to their shameful desires. Even the women turned against the natural way to have sex and instead indulged in sex with each other. 27. And the men, instead of having normal sexual relations with women, bond with their lust for each other. Men did shameful things with other men, and as a result of this sin, they suffered within themselves the penalty. They what? If you ever talk about this, you see they will want to kill you because there's something that hit them in the conscience and they can't stand. The Bible says they suffer. Then the next verse, 28, says they thought it foolish to acknowledge God. He abandoned them to their foolish thinking and let them do things that should never be done. Verse 29, their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, and what? Gossip, prostitution. 30. They are backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, and boastful. They invent new ways of sinning, and they disobey their what? Parents. Verse 31. 31. They are what? That one. Have we read that one? They refuse to understand and break their promises. You know today, if you want to wait, you do what they call prenuptial, where you sign contract. That in case you divorce, you have shared everything before you divorce. They call it prenuptial agreement. You haven't waited, but you sign paper. Say, if we divorce, this one belongs to me. That one what? Isn't that fear? Is that love? The people do that. Because they don't trust each other. And the Bible says they break their promises, are heartless, and have no mercy. Verse 32. They know God's justice requires that those who do those things deserve to die, yet they do them. It worship, they encourage others to do them. They know. Because you know, there are certain things they say are between Christians. Christians shouldn't be what? But they know it's bad. And then I just want to read three verses in chapter 2. And then I read the rest. Let's talk. Did you get anything out of it? Okay, three verses in chapter 2. Chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. We'll finish chapter 1. Chapter 2, 1 to 3. It's saying that everybody is in destiny. Is everybody what? That a man without God is in it. And that's from there. That's from chapter 2. He begins to talk about the Jews to whom the law was given, how unrighteous they are. And then in chapter 3, he says, we'll conclude that all have what? See, and none is righteous. No. So look at what he said in chapter 2, verse 1. You may think you can condemn such people, like we're reading and we're saying, wow. You may think you can condemn such people, but you are just as bad. And you have no excuse. When you say they are wicked and should be punished, you are condemning what? Yourself. For you who judge others, do this very same thing. All these things we read, don't we do it in the body of Christ? We do them now. We gossip. Which one? So he said, you can't be saying, look at what they are doing. They are wicked. He said, when you do that, you are judging what? Yourself. Because you do some of them. You see why God says, I need to give you my righteousness. think our pride has gone to. First of all. So when we go and go in the name of Jesus, we know that we need that name. This bread. The songwriter said, I need him every hour. That's correct. That's the cry of a Christian who understands that there's no us righteous and good. Can we stand?
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.